You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. In American culture, being a go-getter is something that's generally praised and encouraged. We hear sayings like, the early bird gets the worm, or you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Well, what's it like to actually be the go-getter in any given situation? New research shows that employees who are seen as more competent, those go-getters, the people who get things done, well, they get assigned more work, and they're not necessarily happy about that.
Here to talk about this new research is one of the lead authors, Christy Jo Koval. She is a PhD student in the management department at Duke University's Fuqua School of Business. Christy, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So to get our terminology straight, when we use the word go-getter or more competent people, who are we talking about?
So in our research, we're specifically looking at people with high self-control. Self-control, or what we commonly refer to as willpower, is what allows us to override our immediate desires and to replace them with behaviors that are more in line with our long-term goals. So, for example, it enables us to quit smoking in order to stay healthy, and it gets us to study for an exam on a Friday night instead of going out with our friends. As social psychologists, we have studied self-control for quite some time and have found that having high self-control is a really good thing. People with high self-control tend to have better grades at school, they have better physical and mental health, and overall just have more satisfying relationships.
So at the workplace, does that translate into they're better at getting things done?
Definitely. In our operationalization of go-getter, we're really looking at these competent employees, and that's part of it.
And how did you find out that people assign more work to people that they perceive as more competent, or these people with greater self-control, these people we're calling go-getters?
Right. So to test for this, we did a lab study with undergrad students. We asked them to assign a series of essay proofreading tasks to these student volunteers, and then we got them to read the profiles of these volunteers. We then manipulated how much self-control each of the volunteers had by having them answer a question about their New Year's resolution and whether they were able to stick to that. So, for example, one of the students said their goal was to save money, but they ended up spending their savings, so they didn't actually save any money. But for another student, their goal was to, for example, have better dental hygiene by flossing every night, and they were able to floss pretty much every night and therefore, you know, achieving that New Year's resolution. And we found that participants assigned more proofreading tasks to the student volunteers who demonstrated willpower by being more successful at these goals than the student volunteers who were less successful.
And then the thinking there is this might play out in the workplace. If we perceive a coworker as having that self-control, the potential to get things done, we might say, yeah, I want them doing the task. Or if I'm a manager in particular, I might say, I want that person doing this important task, maybe more work than those other slackers.
Yes, that's definitely right.
And how do these people feel about it? I mean, if you're the go-getter, in a way, it can be nice to be singled out from the herd for an assignment, but there can be a downside.
Yeah, definitely. So, like you just mentioned, it's good to feel trusted and respected by others, you know, feel honored to be given this work. But we do think that in our research, at least, we found that people, there are also some downside to being assigned this extra work. Specifically, we found that people were given the more work, ended up feeling more tired than those who were being assigned less work. And this increased workload also had a negative effect on how they thought about their work and those people who gave them the work. And consequently, they actually felt more burdened by this increased responsibility, as we called it.
We're talking to Christy Jo Koval. She is a PhD student in management at Duke University, looking at effective people at the workplace and how they may be assigned more work by their peers, by their managers, and may not be happy about that in the short and long run. And Christy, following up on that point you just made, you did more experiments, I think, looking at the perceptions of how much work someone is doing. The person, that go-getter, we're calling him, the person with self-control who gets more work and is feeling that they're doing more work, but everybody else may not get how much of an impact that has. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, sure. So in one study, we found that, you know, people actually underestimated how much it would take for the go-getters to get their job done. So in other words, not only they assign them with more work, but they also think, oh, it's not that effortful, or they don't have to spend as much time or effort to for these go-getters to get the work done. And in terms of how it makes them feel at work, I think one implication is that, you know, if people don't think it's hard for the go-getters to get the job done, then they probably won't think to reward them for the extra work they're doing. So, for example, a manager might give their star employee the same bonus as all the other employees, despite the fact that they've done more work. And we think that from the go-getter's perspective, this probably created a feeling that they're being unfairly treated, and they might end up feeling annoyed in general just about this work arrangement. They're probably thinking, why should I do more work for the same reward when my less capable coworkers can just coast along with less work?
Isn't pay often tied to performance, though? So if people are doing the extra work, that they might be singled out for better pay.
That's definitely possible, but I think a lot of these sort of more subtle things, for example, maybe you want to ask your go-getter workers, high competent workers, to organize the company retreat or these sort of other lower quality but more time-consuming work just because you think they do well and they perform better. And that actually takes time and resources away for these go-getters to get their actual real important work done, which are really the ones that translate into, you know, performance and therefore the rewards that are tied to that. So by taking resources away for them to do those actually tasks, they don't get rewarded for those important things.
And Christy, I understand in addition to the lab experiments you just mentioned, you also surveyed people, employees out in the real world. What kind of things did you learn from those surveys?
Sure. So the high self-control employees we surveyed reported feeling more relied on by their bosses and coworkers, and they also felt more burdened as a result of this. As an important part of this study, though, we also surveyed these go-getters' colleagues and found that these colleagues didn't expect that. So these bosses and coworkers, they, even though they recognized the extra work that the go-getters were doing, but they actually didn't predict that it would be a burden for them. So we think that this disconnect in, you know, how we see ourselves and how others see us can actually create problems in our relationships, both at work and at home.
Let's talk about that at home part for a little bit, because it seems like this is applicable to our relationships. If one partner is better at doing something like handling the finances, I don't know, taking out the garbage, they
most
generally
definitely
pick those things up, and they might not get all the credit that they're due.
Yeah, for sure. You know, in our personal lives, our high self-control spouses might take on more and more of the domestic responsibilities over time. And like you just mentioned, these extra work might not go, they might go unnoticed by their partners, and who might just assume that they can handle it and even thrive on it. And in fact, in one of our studies, we surveyed over 100 couples who are in romantic relationships. We measured how much self-control each person had and asked them, you know, how much they felt relied on by their partner, whether they felt tired by being relied on, and how satisfied they were with their relationship. And what we found was that high self-control individuals, compared to individuals with low self-control, felt that they were more relied on by their partner, and they felt more tired by others relying on them. And this, in turn, actually led them to feel less satisfied about their relationship.
Well, on any of these surveys or studies in relationships or workplaces, was there an upside here for that high self-control person, the person who gets things done, thinking, yeah, I'm doing more work, but hey, people count on me. I'm glad that I'm contributing. Did you get any kind of positive response like that?
Yes, definitely. And that is actually one point I like to clear, is that even though we're sort of, you know, demonstrating these interpersonal costs for high self-control people, but in general, it is the people with high self-control, these go-getters, that reap the reward. You know, they are more satisfied with their relationships. And even, for example, within the study I just told you about with romantic relationship couples, it's still the high self-control people that had overall better, higher quality relationship with their partners. But it's just that there's this sort of, you know, indirect effect of feeling a little bit tired and burdened by others.
So if people do feel tired and burdened by others, maybe that people don't know all the work that they're putting into something, what should they do about it? How can they correct that?
Right. So first of all, I think it's important for us to just recognize this bias that we have, you know, to recognize how much we are depending on people who are capable, and that there it is causing a burden, that this is a burden that we're placing on them. In a workplace, we think that managers should be careful to select and give the highest quality work and best opportunities to the most capable employees, instead of just dumping everything, you know, like the lower quality, time-consuming work on them, like the company retreat sort of I just talking about. I think another thing, though, is that managers should reward their employees appropriately. And this is something we've also touched on earlier. If someone is doing more than his fair share, compensate him for it. If not, he might ultimately leave and seek recognition elsewhere.
Christy, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Christy Jo Koval, PhD student at Duke University. She was with us to talk about new research about how people with high levels of self-control, people conceived of as go-getters, often get more work.
Coming up, we want to hear from you on all this at 800-642-1234. Are you the go-getter? Are you the competent coworker? Do you feel like, as a consequence, you get more of the work assigned to you? How do you feel about that? Do you like it? You like doing all the stuff? Or do you feel overwhelmed, tired, taken advantage of? Or are you a workplace slacker? You're glad these people are around to pick up the slack that you leave. If you're a manager, how do you sort all this out? Have you thought about this before? And in a personal relationship, romantic relationship, marriage, say, is there this divide in your relationship? One of you does all the stuff and maybe doesn't get recognized for it. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're asking you what it's like to be a go-getter. New research shows that people who are more competent are assigned more work and are relied on more at home, too. The research also shows that people usually underestimate how much work it takes for the go-getters to get these extra tasks done. And according to what the researchers found, the go-getters, they're not liking it much.
And we're looking to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Does the story from this research match your reality? Are you relied on more at home or at work because you're more disciplined? You're better at getting things done. Are you unhappy with that? Do you feel like you're a sucker getting taken advantage of by your slacker coworkers or spouse? How does your workplace treat the go-getters versus everybody else? Is it fair? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go to our callers now. We've got Michael on the line in Pilot Mom, Minnesota. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good.
Are you a go-getter?
Oh. Yeah, I guess so. I've been in an arts apprentice program for 2 years, and I'm now the lead apprentice of it, as to where there's another apprentice below me. And I think it kind of comes down to, I guess naturally some people are born with probably a little bit more ambition and energy than others, or just how, you know, excited you are about the work that you're doing. And if you're really excited about the work that you're doing, if you're really ambitious about it, you're going to take on more course workload or more workload because it's kind of what you want to do, as compared to someone else who may not want to be there as much. And if, you know, if that gives me more responsibility, if that makes me work harder or have to because I'm, you know, expected to because they've seen it before, I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay with working harder than somebody else with the same pay or compensation.
Gotcha.
It's because
So if you're motivated, you don't mind working a little bit more because it's what you want to be doing in the first place.
Exactly. I don't think there's a problem with that at all. I mean, there's people below me who, you know, do work hard, but not as hard as I do. But it I think falls a lot on how invested you are in whatever you do. And if you're invested in it, then I think you're totally, it's okay.
Thanks a lot for that, Michael. Appreciate your thoughts.
Interesting. We'll go now to Gail in Fish Creek. Gail, hi.
Hi. I think overachiever is my middle name. It's always been, and eventually I finally decided I quit and went into my own business, and the gentleman that I'm with, my significant other, had done the same thing in his line of work, too. So we have our own businesses, and I'm a consultant, and he owns an international firm. So all of our extra overachievingness, it goes into our own piggy bank, and we are our own boss.
That's so interesting, Gail. I want to ask, Gail, before you went into your own business, before you became a consultant, did you feel like as the office overachiever, they just kept dumping more and more work on you?
Oh, yeah, they did. And they would eat up deadline time. And I got to where I had to start to delegate up and report directly to the top guy so that I could make sure that I had control of all of my workflow. And then I would have power behind me in order to get things done without hidden agendas getting in the way of all these other people. Because I had to work with 105 people.
Oh, okay. Well, Gail, thanks a lot for calling. And I think, this might be a case where going it alone, going into your own business, makes a lot of sense. Then you're dumping work on yourself.
You're overachieving for yourself. Yeah, that makes some sense. Thanks, Gail. We're going to go next to Ed. Ed's calling from Paddock Lake. Hi there.
Hi. Well, I was a go-getter, because I still am. But previous job, boy, did I paint myself into a corner. All of a sudden, I was the go-to person, and it kept coming and coming. And even though I tried to talk to the boss, say, look, this has gone on too far, didn't change. So I got another job.
All right. So it sounds like that's one of the things that can happen with these go-getters. They burn out. They go somewhere else where they're not going to be as put upon, and that's exactly what Ed did. Thanks for your thoughts.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing from the researcher, Christy, who her one take-home for managers was watch these people, don't overload them. You're going to lose your best people that way. Interesting. We are talking about being the office, the workplace, or maybe the relationship go-getter, the one who gets things done, and whether if you're that person, you get too much dumped on you. We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Matthew is with us next in Kenosha. Matthew, hi there.
Hey, I love the show, guys.
Thanks. What do you think?
I think my boss is a go-getter, and he does a fantastic job, and he sets a very high standard, a very high bar. But his boss, which is actually the owner of the company, I can see how he gets a lot of stuff dumped on him, and he tries very, very, very hard. So even though he's really good with me and I love to be the go-getter for him, he's the go-getter for his boss, and I see a lot of unfairness, I guess, but it does set a high standard, and that's what I enjoy.
And Matthew, despite what's happening maybe at the very top, you feel like this is a good kind of leadership for you. If your direct boss is a go-getter, you're going to follow.
I'm absolutely going to follow him. In fact, sometimes he needs somebody just to help him out, and I'm more than happy to step up and help him out because he would do it for me even though he's my direct superior. So.
Interesting. Matthew, thanks a lot for that perspective, the go-getter as the boss in that situation.
And next we go to Marnie, joining us in Brookfield. Hi, Marnie.
Hi. This seems to be happening to both my daughters, one with an MBA and the other one with her degree. And the problem would be the one would finish up everything she needed to be doing by 2 o'clock or something in the afternoon. And instead, then they'd start just dumping more on her and not, you know, that other people weren't finishing. And with the second daughter, it happened and is happening. And in a previous situation, not only would she get dumped on like that, but then because this weak-kneed manager didn't want to deal with this other person that was slacking off, he decided that they should all work in pairs, and of course, you know what he did. He paired up the slacker with my daughter.
That sounds like your classic example there. We're talking about the someone who gets their work done sooner, they get more work. Well, thank you for sharing that experience of your daughters, Marnie.
And time for a quick call from Scott in Madison. Scott, hi.
Hey, how you doing? I was going to call and just tell you about, I mean, I'm a teacher, so the go-getting thing has always been like an asset. But in relationships, it's not always been that way. So like in my family relationships, I'm a go-getter. I was always proud of it. But a lot of times things got piled on me and I got taken advantage of eventually. And it actually kind of hurt my family relationships as well as my friend relationships. Because, you know, I do like to be there. I do like to help out. But I don't want people not to be as vested or as energetic about the relationship as I am.
Interesting.
And so if I get taken advantage of it, just kind of, you know, it kind of hurts me eventually.
Great. Thanks for sharing that personal perspective, Scott. Thanks for all of your calls and comments. And you can keep this conversation going over at the Central Time Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR.